I would like tonight to read three portions of Scripture, all very well known. Most of you won't need to turn to them, but I would like you to. The first one is in the second book of Kings, chapter 5. We're only going to read part of the story. Second Kings, chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord was with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Drop down to halfway through verse 8. Nearly end. This is Elisha speaking. "Come now to me, and ye shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have rather done it? How much more when he says unto thee, wash and be clean?" And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Over in the New Testament, Luke 15. Verse 11 of Luke 15, "A certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and set him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain had filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And no more worthy to be called thy son, make me one of the hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. When his father saw him a great way off, his father ran, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And into the next chapter, Luke 16, from verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuous every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which lay at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment here. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may testify unto them, lest they should come unto this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Want to tonight, with the Lord's help, to bring before you nothing new, but an old, old message of the gospel. The message that was begun to be spoken by John the Baptist. You remember when he came onto the scene, John's message, according to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, was this: Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John's message to the nation was they needed to repent. And my message to everybody tonight is that you need to repent. When the Lord Jesus came, and is recorded in the very next chapter of Matthew's Gospel, what was the message that the Lord Jesus brought in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17? From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We go on a few years and we come to the Acts of the Apostles. And there we find Peter, that great preacher of the gospel, that one who had preached and there were 3,000 brought into salvation. He said, Repent and be baptized. It was the message that Peter brought. When we think of the Apostle Paul, the great preacher, he could say, as he was preaching the gospel in the 17th chapter of Acts, I'm going to read this one. Acts chapter 17, he says, At that time of the ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. And Paul gives us a reason why men and women need to repent. It's because he has appointed a day. God has fixed a day in which this world is going to be judged, in which those inside this world are going to be judged, when everyone will have to stand before this person, because it goes on to say, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. The Lord Jesus, the one who was rejected and put upon Calvary's cross, is one day going to be the judge. And unless we repent, we shall all perish. And I quote that from the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The Lord Jesus was there speaking about a disaster that had happened. A tower in Siloam had fallen down and 13 people had perished. We would say if it happened today, it was a terrorist act. Whatever it happened, the Lord Jesus took it and he says, Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And if we don't repent, we will perish. And I read these three occasions of three people. The first two repented, and the second one, or the third one, did not repent. Because Naaman was on his way back to Syria. And if Naaman had gone back to Syria, he would have gone back to Syria as a leper. And if the prodigal son had not come to the conclusion that his father's house was far greater, he would have stayed with the pigs. And the sad thing is that this rich man never repented and he ended up in hell. And there are only two destinations for mankind. There is heaven with all its joys, and there is hell with all its misery. It is those who have repented that will end up in heaven, and those that are too good to repent that will end up in the lake of fire in hell. And so we have to emphasize the vital, important fact of repenting. We may ask ourselves a question: what does it mean to repent? I want to suggest in Matthew's Gospel, we have what I like to call my definition of repentance. It's in Matthew 21 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, "Well, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented and went." Here was a son who had deliberately decided that he was going to go his own way. He wasn't going to do what his father had told him to do. He went his own way. But on that journey, he turned round. He had a complete change of mind, and he went to do what his father wanted him to do. And repentance is a complete change of mind. It's a complete change of direction. And we need to stop going one way. That way which, according to Proverbs, seemeth right unto a man. We need to repent. We need to acknowledge that that way was wrong, and turn round and come back. And you know, every one of us, no matter how good we are, no matter how wise we are, we are on that road which at one stage was leading us away from God. The Word of God tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person who can put their hand up and says, "But I have not sinned." The Bible tells us we have all sinned, and we all know that we have sinned. David, he could write and he could say, "I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." And every one of us are left on our own. We would be on that road that would lead us to a lost eternity. But I read of a story of this man, Naaman. I'm sure this is the story that we all heard when we were in Sunday school. A wonderful story of a man who had a tremendous position in life. The first thing we read of Naaman, he was the captain. Officially, he was a very important person. But not only was he in a wonderful position as far as the army was concerned, he was honourable. He was a great man with his master. So not only did he have a position, but socially he could speak with his master. Socially, we could say they were chums, they were pals. He had a great position in life. Not only did he have a wonderful position, but he also was what we might call a successful person in the business that he was at. He had many stars in his crown, as we say. He had many victories that he had done. And as far as we read through this first verse of 1 Kings 5, we find what a wonderful person this man was. We could say he had naturally everything going for him, until we come to the last five verses in my Bible. It says very simply, "But he was a leper." And that is the sad thing about Naaman. He was a leper. And that is the sad thing about everyone in this world. We may have great potentials. We may have great ideas of how we're going to improve things. But we are sinners. And it will be our sins that will take us to a lost eternity. And I'm sure that Naaman realized that it would be leprosy that in the end of the day, it would take him out of this scene by the way of death. But what a wonderful thing that God had provided this little maid. She was in the household of Naaman. She had been taken captive. What would you have done if you had been taken captive to a foreign country and there made to slave in a house for this lady? I'm sure that the first thing, we would be bitter against the Naaman.
we would not wish to serve him, let alone get him recovered of his leprosy. But she had a heart that had something to do with God, because she said, I wish he was with the prophet. He would recover him of his leprosy. How did she know that Elisha had a leprosy clinic? Well, he didn't. She never knew that Elisha had cured anybody of leprosy, because we know from the New Testament that Elisha had never cured a single person of leprosy. But she not only looked at Elisha, the prophet, she looked towards Elisha's God, and she saw in him one who was all powerful, and he was the one, as far as this maid was concerned, that could cure Naaman of his leprosy. Leprosy, you know, in the Bible speaks to us of sin. It is a clear type of sin. There are certain things that are said about leprosy. It separates men from men. It separates you from God. You are not allowed into the sanctuary. You're not allowed into the tabernacle system if you are a leper. And we know that sin separates us from God. We know that sin will separate men from men. We look at all the problems in this world, and it is because of sin have come in to separate us. And so leprosy is a picture of sin. And the other thing about leprosy, you cannot heal a leper. No lepers in the Bible were ever healed. They are always cleansed, because you cannot heal sin. It needs to be cleansed. And the only way that the sin can be cleansed is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And so we find the story goes on, that Naaman is told about Elisha. And he goes, not to Elisha, he goes to the king. Man's mind is still working. He has not yet got to this position where he can admit that he is a leper. And so he goes to, eventually, the message is given, we read in verse 8, come now to me. This is the words of Elisha. Do they not ring in our ears the words of the Lord Jesus? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here says Elisha, come unto me. And so we find that Naaman, he gets into his chariot and he goes to the house of Elisha. But you know, when he came to that house, he was still Naaman, the great conqueror. He was still Naaman, the Syrian. He wasn't, at the moment he got to that house, Naaman, the leper. He came in all the dignity that he had always had. He came as the great man. He came as the one in his chariot, no doubt driven by other men. He was important. He stood at the door, and in verse 10, he got the greatest insult that he'd ever had in his life. He had always been looked upon as a very important person, and no doubt he was. But when he stood at that door, having expected that Elisha would come, Elisha simply sent a messenger. And it was a great insult to Naaman, who thought he was something important. He thought that I am a great man. Why has he sent a servant? And when he was told to go and wash in Jordan, another insult to Elisha. And it says, he was wroth and he went away. He says, I thought he would do something. I thought he would treat me in the respect that I deserve. One of the problems with men and women today is that we think that we're pretty good. We think that God will just accept us as we are because we've done good deeds. We've done good things. But you know, however much we've done, we are still lepers. And so we find here that he goes away in a rage. He complains. He said, why can't I bath in Albana and Farfa? You know, there are many people that think, well, if I do this religion, if I do that religion, surely at the end of the day, God will accept me. The answer is no. There was only one river that Naaman could wash in, and that was Jordan. Jordan speaks of death. And unless we go down, unless the Lord Jesus had gone into death, there would be no blessing. And so we find that he goes away in a rage. And as I said at the beginning, if Naaman had carried on that road to Syria, no doubt he would have got there. But he would have got there as a leper. And if there's anybody here tonight who is in their sins, and you wait until the end of the meeting, and you go out of that door unsaved, you go out of that door a sinner. You go out of that door as one that is on your way to a lost eternity. And Naaman here, he goes back to Syria. But you know, there were those that came along and spoke to him. And I believe in these servants we have a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit who would speak to our hearts and would say to Naaman, what if the prophet had bid you do some great thing? And I'm sure as they spoke to Naaman, his answer to the question was, I certainly would have done it. If he had told me to do something that made me feel good, if he had told me to do something that was in character with me, I would do it. I would have willingly have done it. But they say, when he says, wash and be clean. And you know, I don't know how long it took Naaman to add up the pros and cons, but he had to go down into Jordan and wash. And you know, the only way in which we are going to get the blessing is if we are prepared to go down, to humble ourselves, to admit that we cannot do anything for ourselves. We need to go down. And I would suggest that when Naaman stopped that chariot, he repented. He went down. He followed the words of the prophet. And what was the result? The result at the end of verse 14, he was clean. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we could go on. We haven't the time. But Naaman, he returned to Elisha. He returned and he was prepared to give. He was prepared, as it were, to worship. He wanted to do these things. No doubt when we are born again, when we are saved, there's a certain condition. There will be a change in our lives. And there was a change in the life of Naaman the moment he got clean. I want to suggest that Naaman is the first one that we have that repented. Luke 15. We hardly need to read the story. We've heard it so many times, haven't we? The wonderful story of these two brothers. The sad thing about this story is only one of the brothers ever, we read, got into the father's house. And you know, this brother here, he says, I want to go out and I want to enjoy myself. And you know, very often we find that this is something that happens to young people, but it can also happen to those of us who are old. We get fed up with what we've been doing. We want to change. We want to do something different. And no doubt this lad for many months had been fed up with the home life that he was living in. He was fed up with always having to get up at a certain time by his father. He was fed up of always having to do the chores. And he decided, I want to go and enjoy myself. Many of our young people in the next few weeks will be going to university. We'll be away from their parents and we'll be able to do just as you like. You'll be able to please yourself. You'll be able to be just like this young man. You can do just what you want. Your parents are not going to look at you. They're not going to see you. But there's a lesson here. If you follow what this young man do, you'll end up feeding the pigs. And so he went on his journey. And you know, he lived a good life. We don't know how long he lived before he got into the piggery. But for these verses 12 and 13, I'm going to suggest to you, he enjoyed himself. He had a wonderful time. If you were to say to him, how are you doing? He would say, I'm really enjoying myself. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews says. The pleasures of sin, they last for a season. And he was in the middle of that season, enjoying himself, having the pleasures of sin. But then there came a famine. There came something into his life that stopped him from doing what he was doing. He had spent all. There arose a famine. Do we not see the mighty hand of God in bringing this famine into the life of this young man to speak to him? You know, sometimes when there are difficulties, when there are problems that come into our lives, we should ask ourselves the question, is the Lord speaking to me? Is the Lord speaking to me through this particular illness? Is the Lord speaking to me through this particular problem? Here, this young man, there was a famine, and I'm sure for the first thing he sought to benefit himself, to get a bit of food, he picked a job, the worst one in the village, of feeding the pigs. But you know what a wonderful thing it is. Just as in the story of Naaman, there were those that came to him and said, if the prophet had bid you, here, he came to himself. I would suggest to you that here was the work of the Spirit of God in his heart. When he was there feeding those pigs, he sat down and he thought to himself, how many hired servants have my father got? I believe at that moment he repented. He could say, I have sinned. And notice this, he says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He realized that firstly he had sinned against heaven. He says, I will arise and go to my father and I will say, make me a son. And the sad thing about this lad is that he knew all about the father's house. He said, my father's got servants and they've got bread enough and to spare. But he had no idea of his father's heart, that here was one who had a heart of love. And one of the great problems with men and women, boys and girls today, is that they only see God as one who can give us things. They don't realize that he has a heart of love for us. And God loves each one of us. And God wants to bless them. And if this prodigal son, when he was in this far country, had any conscious sense of the father's love, if he had any sense, he would have never have gone there. If he had it in the far country, he would have just gone straight back. But he repented. And he went back to his father. You know, I wonder what he was thinking on that journey back. We know he went into a far country. There was no doubt a long distance that he had to walk back. And perhaps it was in that distance as he was walking back that he really, really repented. And that he got this speech already, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. But you know, his father saw him a great way off. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a God that is watching over us. And if we go astray, he is ready to receive us back. He is the one that has compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. What a wonderful thing that this son came back to his father, and his father had the same love as when he left. The father had that same compassion as when he went away. The son said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called my son. And he stopped. He stopped, and I believe because his father interrupted him. His father's idea was not that there should be servants, but that he should have his son. And you know, it is God's desire that we should not just be servants, but that we should be sons. And we should know something of the affections of the Father. And so I suggest here in this little story, we have another man who repented. Someone who came, as it were, through the difficult circumstances that they had. But the Spirit of God worked in their heart and they repented and they came back to the Father. What a sad story we have to end with. The story of these two, the rich man and Lazarus. As far as the rich man is concerned, he had everything going for him. Just as Naaman did, you know, here was a rich man. He was well off. He had no problems. They say the more money you've got, the less problems you have. And no doubt he had no problems at all. He could just write the check and get what he wanted. And yet there was another man, Lazarus. He lay at the gate full of sores. If you look at these two men, we would think that they are absolute poles apart. And no doubt they were. As far as we look at them, they were poles apart. But you know, they had one thing in common. What they had in common is what everybody in this room has in common with them. We may not be beggars. We may not be rich. But the one thing that they had in common was that they both died. You know, there's another story we were looking at last week, 2 weeks ago in Luke chapter 7. And there's the Lord Jesus told a story of a certain man who had two debtors. He says one owed 500 pence and the other only 50. What a difference it was between the 500 pence debtor and the 50 pence. But the Lord Jesus said they had nothing to pay. There was nothing at all to pay. You know, we may think that we've got a lot going for us, but we have a lot in common. First of all, we have nothing to pay. We have nothing that we can bring. And here, this man and Lazarus, they had one thing in common. They both died. But you know, that's where the commonality stops. Because we read of the rich man, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell or in Hades, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. What happened to Lazarus? He's taken into Abraham's bosom, the place of blessing. And I say again, as I said at the beginning, there's only two destinations for mankind. There's a destination which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. There is that place called hell, where men will end up if they reject Christ. And there is heaven, the Father's house. And you know, the choice we can say is up to how you respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you respond to the questions that were raised in the gospel. The question was raised, what think ye of Christ? And if you tell me the answer to that question, I can have a pretty fair guess as to where you will spend eternity. Will you spend eternity with him? Or will you spend eternity with the devil in the lake of fire? Well, here we find that, and he cried in verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He needed mercy. I guess this was the first time in his life that the rich man had ever cried out for mercy. Up to that time, he was able to pay. He was able to do anything. But you know, when he got into hell, the one thing he wanted was mercy. I can tell you tonight, there is mercy for all whom on Jesus will call. The rich man said, I want a dip of water to cool my tongue. And the answer is there's a great gulf fixed. This gulf is eternally. It will never be removed. It will always be there. What a sad thing it is that there are many that are heading on to this place where the great gulf is fixed. But you know what I think is more, not necessarily more sad, but as far as this person is concerned, because Abram said to him in verse 25, son, remember. Just think about it. People in hell will be able to remember. They will be able to remember the night they walked past this hall. They will be able to remember the night they refused the gospel tract that you handed to them. They will be able to remember the times when they rejected the offer of mercy from the Lord Jesus. And this man in hell, he could remember. And he says this. He says, send someone to tell my brothers. Yes, when he was in hell, he realized that he has many in his family, and he wanted someone to tell them about hell. And the answer is given, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He says, no. He says, if somebody went back from the dead, they will. Listen to it. If someone went back from the dead, they will repent. It is absolutely vital, you see. He, even in hell, knew that the only way was through repentance. He says, except they repent. We began by talking about the Lord Jesus and, well, John the Baptist, the Lord. Peter, Paul all mentioned this wonderful fact that we need to repent. And Apostle Paul, he could add something to it. He could say repentance towards God. We need to acknowledge that we've gone the wrong way. We need to turn round. But Paul goes on to say repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we just acknowledge that we've gone the wrong way, that is not repentance. We need to turn round and we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way in which we can be brought into blessing. And so that's the little message I had. Has everybody here repented? Does everybody here know what it is to put their trust in the Lord Jesus? Do you remember the story of Jonah? He went to Nineveh, didn't he? He preached the gospel there. And it says in Jonah, I think it's chapter 3, the men of Nineveh believed what Jonah preached to them. But when you come into the New Testament, in Luke 11, I think it is, the Lord Jesus, quoting that occasion, he says, the men of Nineveh, they repented. They acknowledged their wrongness. They acknowledged their sins. They turned round and they sought to follow God. And so tonight I do trust that everyone in this room know what it is to follow the Lord Jesus. Know what it is to have repented of their sins and to be on their way to glory. As I look around, as far as I can see, most of you, if not all of you, are saved. But I'd rather be accused of preaching to the saved people as though they're sinners than preaching to sinners as though they're saved. And so tonight I present the Lord Jesus as the only saviour of sinners. And I applaud you to repent, to acknowledge your sins, and to turn to him, the one who has bore that judgment upon Calvary's cross. We were meditating this morning of something that he endured, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus upon that cross. And you know, as far as God is concerned, every sin is going to be judged. He's not going to allow sin off. Because if he could allow one sin to go unjudged, why did he judge the Lord Jesus upon Calvary's cross? Every sin will be judged, either through the death of the Lord Jesus when he bore them on Calvary's cross, or as this man in the lake of fire. I give the warning, I give the message. I trust that we will heed the word of God, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and know that for eternity we will be secure.